give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks.
There's a fly buzzing us up here. Well, he needs to go back to the devil where he came from in Jesus' name. Or out the door or something.
Ooh, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Let's do that again.
I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Again.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be here, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing.
sharing of your love forever. Bless the Lord, huh? This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you, all I have within me. Only in you, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Have your way with me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Adjusted so that we're softened and ready so that the Lord can do a heart adjustment on us. Because we all need that, don't we? We do it once a month here. You know, you can do it every day, but it's like a cleansing process. It's like a rededication that our hearts would be focused. Huh? Focus on Him who loves us. Amen. Okay, Bill.
Captivate my heart. Make it all your own. Melt away my every longing till I'm yours alone. Breathe upon me, Lord. Make make my spirit new. Let me know your holy presence as I worship you. Holy, holy, alleluia to the King. I worship you.
Create in me a
a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Lord, heal me and fill me and make my life anew. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you.
Thank you, worship team. Praise God. You know, if you feel led, you can be on the worship team too. Just be here Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Sure, we would. Don't say that. I've even been told I could, and I, well, we don't want that. Well, good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we can open up our hearts to you and praise you, Lord, and you fill us, Lord, with your presence and with your love. And we pray, Lord, that you'd open up heavens for us today, Lord, and help us to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to be in John chapter 5 this morning. You probably figured that out since that was our opening scripture. And I see I must have brought my fly with me. Well, anyway, if you see me wave my hands around, it could either be the fly or it could be the Holy Spirit. I hope it's the Holy Spirit. We're going to do something a little different, though, this morning to start off. Open up to, well, you can be in John chapter 5. You're there already, but Hold your finger there. And ladies, I'd like you to turn to Psalms 18. Gentlemen, I'd like you to turn to 2 Samuel 22. I'll give you the verses when you get there. Psalms 18, you'll be starting in verse 16. 2 Samuel 22, you'll be starting in verse 17. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord is my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Okay, now you can turn back to John chapter 5. You're probably wondering, well, what happened to the other one? They're the same. Some of you knew that. I'm going to be a little bit transparent today, I think. Actually, preachers have a tendency to be a lot more transparent than you realize. I'm going to talk about something that happened in my childhood and something that happened later in my life. When I was probably 4 or 5 years old, I had something happen to me that I couldn't understand at the time, and I've thought about it, of course, all my life. As many of you know, I was born in New Brunswick, Canada, and we lived right on the St. Croix River, right across the river from Maine. We didn't swim in the St. Croix River because you didn't want to do that. You'd end up out to sea very fast. But what we used to do, and it does get hot enough in the summertime to swim in Canada. People don't realize that, but it does. We used to go to, there was a river that flowed into the St. Croix River, and it was between Upper Mills, where I lived, and St. Stephen. And we went there quite often to swim. And as I said, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I was just waiting. I couldn't swim. I was afraid of the water. And I fell into a drop-off. You know what that is? That's where all of a sudden your feet aren't touching anything and your head's underwater. And, of course, I thought I was going to drown. I yelled out, "Help." And it sounded exactly like you think it would sound underwater, you know, sort of like a bad cell phone connection, you know. But all of a sudden, my feet were on solid ground and my head was above water. And I wondered about that all my life. What happened? What happened? How'd that happen? It wasn't anything I did. Years later, I found myself drowning again, but only this time it was in a tequila bottle. And once again, I was pulled out of it. I didn't realize who it was that did it or how that happened until a few years after that I started following the Lord and started reading His Word and started going to church. And I know exactly what happened. God is good. He delivered me from alcoholism instantly. He made it impossible for me to drink because I tried to drink after that and I got violently ill. But He also took away the desire to drink. He made sure of it. When He heals you, He heals you completely. That was 32 years ago, almost 32 years ago. And I'm happy to say that my higher power is Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, we're going to look at another man that received healing. The reason I chose the scripture that I quoted from Psalms 18 or 2 Samuel is it's because of what happened to me. It's always been very personal to me. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. After this, or after these things, that's a very common expression that you find in John. It's like Matthew has the word then. You see that a lot in Matthew. Mark has immediately. You see that a lot in Mark. Luke has it came to pass. And you see that a lot in Luke. After this or after these things, you see that 7 times in the book of John. And it's also In the book of Revelation, it's also there 9 times. After what things? Of course, whatever preceded it. And you can read it. There's a connection, but I'm not going to talk too much about the connection. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Now, there's been a lot of debate about what feast this was. I've even heard people say it was Purim, because it was a feast of the Jews. I don't think it was. For one thing, it says Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there's 3 feasts that require the males to go to Jerusalem. One was Passover, the other was Pentecost, and the other was Feast of Tabernacles. Now, a commentary I read, the commentators said that he thought it was Pentecost because it says Feast of the Jews. It doesn't say Pentecost. I don't think it was Passover because there's 3 other times when Passover is talked about, and I believe that there's 3 Passovers that during Jesus' ministry that occurred. There wasn't 4. Tabernacles, every time Feast of Tabernacles is mentioned, it's called the Feast of Tabernacles. So why wouldn't, if it was Pentecost, why wouldn't they say Feast of Pentecost? Because Pentecost hadn't been fulfilled yet. Does that sound reasonable? I think so, but we don't really know, do we? And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He honored the law. He followed the law. He was born under the law, and he observed the law. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. A sheep market. If you go back to Nehemiah chapter 3, starting in verse 1, you see that they're rebuilding the wall, and it talks about all the gates. The first one was the sheep gate. The sheep market was a place out inside the wall that was where they brought the sacrificial sheep, the sacrificial animals, in through that gate, and they kept them there until they used them. Of course, we know that Jesus is our sacrificial lamb, don't we? So it was very fitting that he would be there. Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy. Once again, that points to Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Now, most of you know that Numbers, I usually have something to say about Numbers when I read them in the Bible. Numbers represent grace. Or number 5 represents grace. Number 5 and multiples are 5 are found all throughout the construction and the furnishing of the tabernacle. Jesus fed the multitude with 5 loaves of bread. The 5th clause of the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." The 5th commandment is the only one with a promise attached to it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Grace is unwarranted favor. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They would gather there, it goes on in verse 4 to tell you why, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. They would gather there hoping that they would be able to step into that water to be healed. It says an angel came down. Now, this could be an angel as a messenger. It could be human. I don't think it was, because I don't see how that could cause, unless there is something special in the water, which it doesn't say there is. I don't think that it was a human angel. I think that it was a celestial being, an angel of God. There's an angel named Raphael that's mentioned in apocryphal writings that is actually referred to as God's physician or God's, the Latin word is Medicina Dei or Dei or D-I is D-E-I. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. That's in Latin. So could it be an angel? Could it be an angel of God bringing the healing? Do evil angels cause disease? Yes. So it seems reasonable to think that God could send an angel and allow them to bring healing too. A great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. A lot of people see the nation of Israel in this, because at this time they had their law, but yet they were without strength. They were not unable to follow the law. The law had its purpose, and the purpose of the law was to show us our need for Jesus Christ. Because can we keep the law? We can't keep the law. Because as soon as we decide we're not going to do something, that's the first thing we think of, isn't it? That we want to do it. They were impotent. They were without strength. Romans 8:3 talks about the ineffectiveness of the law because it was weak through the flesh. Weak through the flesh. Our flesh is that which makes it unable for us to keep the law. Now, I find it interesting that all these people are laying there, staying there, waiting for that water to be troubled so they could get up and step into the water. Now, who's the most likely to be healed? The one that needs it less. Jesus said the righteous don't need a Savior because they're righteous. Of course, there is none righteous, no, not one. Impotent folk of blind, halt, withered, they're waiting for the moving of the water. They're not only without strength, unable to keep the law, but they're also blind to their own wretchedness. They're also blind to the Lord. Here Jesus is walking among them, and they don't recognize who he is. Jesus walks among us too, because this is also a picture of us. Not just the nation of Israel, not just those people back there 2,000 years ago. This is a picture of us as well. Until he opens our eyes, we're blind to him. It talks in Revelation, you know, don't say you're rich, or don't say you're because you're not. You're poor, you're naked. They were halt. That's not a word we use in this way very often, is it? It means they were lame, they were crippled. Without Jesus in our life, we're lame, we're crippled. They were withered. There's instances in the two references in the Bible in the New Testament of a man with a withered hand. That means unable to work. Sometimes our muscles get atrophied, they get withered. It could mean that, once again, that's unable to work. So we're blind, we're lame, and we're unable to do anything. If we're blind, we can't see where we're going. if we're lame, it makes it harder to get there anyway. And if our hands are paralyzed, then we can't do anything. Somebody pray this fly away, please. Maybe it's there for a reason. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Ricky mentioned 38 years. Abraham to Isaac. The nation of Israel wandered 38 years in the wilderness. I know some places it says they're in the wilderness 40 years, which is right. I think they wandered for 38 years. Maybe the other 2 years they didn't wander. Also, the Jewish people have a little different way of counting than we do. It could actually be 38, because any part of a year would be counted as a year, even though it's only partial. I've come to believe that when Jesus says that he was going to be 3 days and three nights in the tomb, that on the third three nights, if he was crucified on Friday, then why is that's not three nights until Sunday morning, is it? But in Jewish thinking, it is, because any part of a day is counted. And since the evening before is also part of that day, then they're literally counting Thursday night. Of course, other people explained that he was probably crucified on Wednesday or Thursday. We'll find out one day, won't we? This man had an infirmity for 38 years. He was suffering. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? When Jesus saw him. Did Jesus see all the others? He saw the others. But yet for some reason, he decided that he was going to heal this one man. He saw me years ago, and he decided that he was going to deliver me from where I was. He saw you. He sees us. It talks in Exodus, it talks about God, when the Lord is in the burning bush. He says that, I have heard their cries. I have seen their suffering. I know their pain, their sorrow. And I have come down. He saw him and knew that he had been a long time in that case, that he had been suffering. He had been in the condition he was in for a long time. And he was in such a bad condition that there's no way he could get up and get into that water on his own. We can't heal ourselves. We can't save ourselves on our own. We need Jesus Christ. Says Jesus knew him. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Jesus asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? He asked him, Do you want to be healed? Now, that sounds like a funny question, doesn't it? Who wouldn't want to be healed? But yet, there's some people that get so comfortable in their suffering that that's all they know, and they don't really want to change. Some people use it to get sympathy or to take advantage of it. Do we want to be healed? Do we really want to be saved? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. While I am coming. He's looking to his own strength. He doesn't have the strength. He's looking to human help, human method. Do we rely on worldly methods when only the Lord can heal us? Do you want to be healed, he said. What he's saying is, have you reached the point where you recognize your need for me? We can't come to him until we reach that point. We prayed this morning for our loved ones that don't know the Lord. But yet they're not going to come to the Lord until they reach the point, until the Lord brings them to that point where they recognize their need for him. We have to look beyond ourselves. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. He said, rise. We have to believe him. We have to believe in his word. We have to have confidence that if he's telling us to do something, we can do it. He told the disciples to get into the boat and go across the other side, and they encountered a storm on the way across. They were afraid. But yet, if Jesus tells you to go across the other side, he's going to get you there. He's going to get you through it. So we have to have confidence in his word. He says, take up thy bed. Pick it up. Roll it up. Otherwise, you might be tempted to use it again. You might be tempted to deny your healing and lay back down on that bed. No, you need to get it out of the way. We need to get rid of the things that might keep bring us back to our suffering, to the way we were. Bartimaeus was a blind man. He heard that Jesus was going through town, and he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he took off his begging cloak, which he needed to beg. It was his means of support. He took it off, and he discarded it. And he ran after Jesus. That amazes me. He's blind. How can he run after anybody? But yet, Jesus brings us to him, doesn't he? He had to get rid of that, because that was his identity. That was what he believed that he was. That was how he saw himself. And he had to say to himself, no, I don't want to be this. This is not me. This is not who I am. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You are unable to walk into the water. You are unable to walk even to the water. But I'm telling you to walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now when we come to the Lord, how often is it that that friends or family or relatives try to discourage us? Maybe there's a lot of criticism. Well, there's always criticism, isn't there? It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Was it lawful for him to carry his bed? Jesus told him to. Was it lawful for Jesus to heal him and to tell him to carry his bed? They should have known that it was, because in Jewish thought, there's three reasons that you could work on the Sabbath. One is service, one is worship, and the other is mercy. Who among you that has a donkey that falls into a ditch won't work, or into a well won't work to try to save him on a Sabbath? He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. What's he doing? What's he using for a defense? He's using the word of God. That's what we're supposed to do too. When we experience criticism, or when we experience debate about what we believe, we use the word of God, Jesus himself. Use the word of God. If you're who you say you are, command these stones to become bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. Then asked they him, What man is it that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. He knew not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. He didn't know who it was that healed him. And Jesus wasn't there anymore because Jesus doesn't stay around for applause or for recognition. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. With healing comes responsibility, doesn't it? So what did he do after he was healed? Where did he go? He went to the house of God. See, Jesus didn't just heal his body. He did a work of grace in his soul also. Jesus said, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. It says in Galatians that we reap what we sow. And that's not just talking about unbelievers. Because we got to remember that the book of Galatians were written to a church, written to believers. The things we do have consequences. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. That's what we're supposed to do too, isn't it? After we're saved, after we're healed. Our testimony, our witness. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. After he was healed, he went to the temple. He went to God's house. Then he went back and he told who it was that saved him. He told what Jesus had done in his life. We're supposed to do that too, aren't we? Today is Communion Sunday. As Linda said, we celebrate it or we observe it once a month, in the first of the month. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come up and help pass out the elements. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 31. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It says to examine ourselves, and that's what we do before we take of the cup and the bread. If we have aught against anybody, we need to come to terms with it. If we have anything that we think might disqualify us from partaking of this, we need to come to terms with that also. So I'm going to ask everybody bow their heads and just speak to the Lord privately and just talk to him about the condition of our heart. Has everybody been served?
Oh. Bill, could you take one to Dwight? He got the bread, I think.
When we take this, we need to fully understand what this represents. It's not a snack. Paul says, if you're hungry, eat at home. This is the body, or it represents the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body that he gave for us. And the blood that he shed. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Lord, we thank you for this bread, Lord, that represents your body. We thank you, Lord, for what you allowed to happen to it. We thank you, Lord, that you did it out of love for us. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. Lord, we thank you for the blood you shed for us, the blood that cleanses us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, for this cup that represents it. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Years. As I said, that's the amount of time that the children of Israel spent in the wilderness, wandering. That was the amount of time that man suffered with his affliction. 38 to man means suffering and bondage. But to God, it means healing and salvation. 38 years, it's a long time. Does anybody want to guess how old I was when the Lord delivered me from alcohol? Amazing. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all you do in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for being here. We thank you, Lord, for your love and the sacrifice you made for us. Lord, we freely accept everything you have for us. We thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we go our way today, Lord, and bring us back tonight. Bless your people today, Lord, and may everything we do bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes our service.